All right, let's be turning to 1 John, if you will, chapter 2. We're in the second part of a three-part message on Antichrist alert. And we did get a few more people over here. So I have a preachers have a tendency to pull their head toward where the people are. So, but anyway, appreciate you. I think we're going to answer some questions today that you may have over the years about people in the church. And we're going to look at it today. I want to read three verses. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, and then 22 through 23. Last week we looked at what Antichrist do, those who hate Christ, those who counterfeit Christ, those that are against Christ. And again, I want to make plain to you that the people that John here is talking about are not the run-of-the-mill lost people. We're talking about people who want to do the body of Christ harm. But last week we saw how they attack Christ. They have he has a time period, especially his period, the Antichrist. His time period is during the seven-year tribulation. And then he's a spirit of spiritual error, and he's a deceiver. Now today we're going to look at the second trait of these people is they abandon the church. So we're continuing to look at 1 John, our exposition of 1 John. And we come to a section here where John addresses the false teachers in the church. They were called Gnostics. They denied the humanity of Jesus Christ. And so he tells us how to detect them, how to expose them, and how to come about in our approach with them. So today we're going to look at they abandon the church. So let's look at stand in honor of God's word. Let's read verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest they were not all of us. Note verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the name hath not the Father. The same hath not the Father. So much for those people that think they can know God and not Jesus Christ, right? But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Father, I pray as we look at our text today, again, a sobering section of Scripture in 1 John, but a very needful passage of Scripture for the church then and the church now. So, Father, I pray you teach us from your word, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. They abandon the church. I believe that the greatest danger to the church is not from without, but it's from within. Those who claim to be part of us, but their whole goal is to come in with their false doctrine and then divide the church and literally tear the church apart on the way out. It's not really people outside the church. We know where they stand, right? But Antichrist come in to destroy and divide and carry their prey with them. I can tell you a case over case where people come into different churches with false doctrine. They got a following. They're very likable people. Next thing they know, they leave the fellowship and take the people with them. Right, Brother Ray? And they divide the church. And their departure is very painful and very harmful to the church, having to deal with them. Even though the church is standing up for truth, it is painful to have to deal with people like this in the local assembly. I like what Alistair Begg said. He said, there are some who share for a while our earthly company who do not share our heavenly birth. I like that. So I want to share with you two thoughts here about how they abandon the church. Now, we're not talking about people who miss church, and we're not talking about rank and file lost people. They just totally forsake the church because they denied the faith. Now, we see here two traits. First of all, in verse 19, they desert the fellowship. Now notice verse 19 again. I want us to read it again slowly, okay? they, talking about the false teachers, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they will no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. These people usually leave the church, don't go to another church, but because they want to propagate their false doctrine, they have a gathering of people, and they meet somewhere other than the normal, what we call the normal church gathering. Okay? Very sobering passage here, but the passage lets us know that perseverance and continuation is proof of sonship and true possession. There's a difference between professing and really proving your possession, see? Defection from the fellowship gives evidence of a defective faith. And this is one of the greatest heartaches to a pastor. It's not, you know, you hate to lose anybody, you hate to do funerals, you hate to do this and do that, but when you see somebody beginning to wane in the fellowship and becoming irregular, they cut out Wednesday night, then they begin to cut out some on Sunday night, then they begin to cut out all of Sunday night, and next thing you know, they wane on Sunday morning, and next thing you know, they're out. That will tear a pastor's heart out because you can't get a good reason why. Oh, yeah, they'll blame this and they'll blame that. In result, I think they have to look in their own heart when it comes about with this. Now, note verse 19 again. Note the contrast here between they and us in verse 19. They appear 7 times and us appears 5 times. And I don't mean to be funny here, but there is us and there is them, right? They do not last, but left. They went out and we stay. Their departure proved that they were never really part of us, regardless of what they professed. Us remains in the fellowship and perseveres. These affirm eternal security and the perseverance of the saints. You can't look at they who depart, probably never loved God, and say, look, I told you they lost it. No, those that stay and remain prove the doctrine of eternal security, right? And prove the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. So when you talk about your salvation being secure till you get to heaven, don't keep your eyes on they. Look at us, okay? And be a part of us. Jude verse 1 says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. See, if you're preserved in Jesus Christ, you're going to be one of us, right? You're not going to be one of they, okay? I'm still working on my pronunciation, okay? Am I doing okay? I see some of you laughing out there sometimes, and I think you're laughing at me. One of the most paranoid creatures on the face of the earth is a preacher, right? He looks outside, he sees 3 people by a car. He said, they're talking about me, you know? But I'm glad. Do you understand that? If you're preserved in Jesus Christ, you are preserved as long as he is preserved. Am I not right? Ain't that what the text says? And you persevere, and you continue, thus proving the doctrine of eternal security. You don't get that from they, you get it from us, okay? I like what the Baptist Faith and Message of 2000 states. We have it in our own statement of faith, but I want to read it to you. All true believers endure to the end. Those whom God has accepted in Christ and sanctified by his Spirit will never fall away from the state of grace, but shall persevere to the end. Believers may fall into sin through neglect and temptation, whereby they grieve the Spirit, impair the graces and comforts, and bring reproach on the cause of Christ and temporal judgments on themselves, yet they shall be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. I like that. So how do these people abandon the church? Number one, they desert the fellowship. But number two, in verse 22 and 23, they deny the faith. Now, we have people that come, and they come for a while, and they're not apostates. They're not false teachers. Next thing you know, because it's not in them, they're gone, right? They're not the type of people I'm talking about today, but I am talking about proving your faith, whether it's real or not. They deny the faith. Look in verse 22 and 23 again. Who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? In other words, that Christ means the anointed one, deity, the Messiah, right? Jesus was his earthly name. Christ is his heavenly name, okay? And it says here he is the Antichrist, or against Christ, or instead of Christ, or counterfeit Christ, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So they desert the fellowship. Now follow me here. They desert the fellowship because they deny the faith. Okay? They left the church because they left Christ first. Are you following with me? They can play a good game for a while. As Alistair Begg said, they enjoy earthly company, but they cannot identify with our heavenly birth. They deny the essentials, the fundamentals of what it takes to go to heaven. What is it that we must believe to call ourselves a Christian? What is it that we must believe in order to go to heaven? And I want to share some things with you that you may not know the depth of these doctrines, but you cannot deny them and call yourself a Christian. The inerrancy of Scripture. You must believe that the Bible is God's Word, right? How can you be secure in your faith or have a faith if you don't even believe in what saved you, right? The inerrancy of Scripture, it is without error. God as creator. How can you be saved when you don't even believe God's the one who created you, right? Salvation by grace through faith, that's essential. It's not by works. It's totally by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And that separates a lot of denominations and a lot of cults, right, from us. You must believe in salvation by grace through faith alone. And then you must believe in the doctrine of Christ. And we'll see later in John, or maybe it's 2 John, where he says, if anybody comes to your home and brings not the doctrine of Christ, receive not them into your house. Now, what is the doctrine of Christ? What is the teaching of Christ? Well, his humanity and his deity. He is fully man and he's fully God. The incarnation. God became man. It wasn't the other way around that, like the cults say, man became God. God became man. And this is what they were doing in the readers that John was addressing. They denied the humanity of Christ. The creator and eternal Son of God. You know, the cults will tell you, oh, we believe Jesus is God's Son. But what they do not tell you is they do not believe he is the eternal Son of God. They don't believe he preexisted, that he was the creator, right? So they get caught up on John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They say the Word was a God, okay? So they must believe that he is the Creator, the eternal Son of God. So when you're talking to anybody, just don't say, do you believe that Jesus is God's Son? Do you believe that Jesus is God's eternal Son who existed with him from eternity past? And then the sinlessness of Christ. He knew no sin. Brother Ray did a great job this morning talking about the pain that Jesus suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I agree, it was mainly spiritual in his relationship or his fellowship with the Father. And so we must believe that the one who saved us is sinless, because if he wasn't sinless, we're still in our sins, okay? Because he cannot be sinless, because he didn't take on Joseph's nature, the nature of man. He was the Holy Spirit, conceived in the womb by the Holy Spirit, right? He didn't have the fallen nature that we have, okay? And then we must believe in the blood atonement. We are saved totally by the shedding of Christ's blood on the cross. Again, not by works, not by human merit, but totally there must be the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And then we must believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We must believe in the gospel. We must believe that he died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. Why is that? Because Romans 10 says, if you don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ, you can't be saved. And then there's the Son of God and the Lord. We must believe he is Lord. We must believe he is the Son of God and the eternal Son of God. We must believe in the Trinity. Now, some may disagree with me here, but I firmly believe if you don't believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, the three persons of the Trinity, one God and three persons, how can you call yourself a Christian, right? There are people like T.D. Jakes and others that believe in what's called Universal Trinitarian, or it's called Oneness Pentecostalism, where they don't believe like the historic Christian doctrine believes, one God and three persons. They believe that God became the Son. While he was the Son, there was no Father. And while he became the Spirit, there was no Son. That is heresy. That will send your soul to hell. Okay? We believe in one God in three persons who existed, coexisted, all at the same time. All involved in creation and all involved in our salvation. And then the Father and the Son, as our text tells us here. Say, we may not fully know the doctrines here, but we can't deny them and call ourselves a Christian, right? I did not grow fully in these doctrines, but I believed them because they were taught in Scripture. But as I grew as a Christian and as a preacher, I'm able to defend these doctrines, and we must believe them if we're going to call ourselves a Christian. Go to chapter 4, verse 3 again. And every spirit that confesses, I kind of like this, having the false teeth. It makes me preach slower, and I'm more understandable, and I can take my time, right? Look in verse 3. And I know what you're thinking. Praise God. I'm looking forward to the day he'll quit talking about his teeth. Can I get an amen? Amen. Verse 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, whereby you have heard that it should come, that even now is already in the world. And then go to chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So, they abandoned the fellowship. They abandoned the church because they desert the fellowship. Now, again, I'm not talking about half-hearted attendance. I'm talking about abandon. They abandon the fellowship. Why? Because they deny the faith. They really didn't believe what kept them there at church. Okay? Now, let me close with a few thoughts here. Number one, antichrists are false teachers. Again, but not the rank and file lost people. Antichrists have and always have been, or in the past, been associated with some way with the church, but they come into the divide, crep in with their plastic words, minutiae, saying it a different way. They come in, and you can't fully identify them yet because they won't tell you what they fully believe. You know, they come in as hypocrites. You know, I always detect them by one thing. What do they not say? Right? Number two, there is stricter judgment for those who knew the way and left than those who never knew. And then number three, there's a difference between differences of interpretation on secondary doctrines and denying the essentials of the faith. Right? We don't all, the body of Christ doesn't always agree about everything, but we should agree about the doctrine of Christ, right? And that's what gets us to heaven. Now, next week, we're going to look at the third part. They assault the Christian. As we begin to, as we pass over this and get on to something else. But I want to ask you a question today. I trust that everybody under the sound of my voice is saved today, but what is faith? Well, there's a walking faith with Jesus, but what is faith? Your faith is only as good as the object you have it in. If you don't have it in Jesus, you're going to miss out. Faith in Jesus is nothing more than believing that he died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. Your faith and trust is totally in what he did on the cross of Calvary. It's not in your works. Thinking I'm going to win God's approval, or he's going to see favor in me. No, the only way he sees favor in you is that you have repented and come to him in faith, believing in the work of his son on the cross. Amen? That's it. Father, I pray today that everybody under the sound of my voice is saved. And again, my heart is grieved because as I look around, I see people that are waning. Well, I don't see them today, but I know that they're waning. And we visit with them and we do this. We implore them. But ultimately, it's the work of the Spirit. So, Father, I pray today that our attendance will increase. Our people will be faithful. People come to me all the time and say, I don't know what's going on in my life. Well, number one, are you faithful? Are you giving a tithe at least? Are you obedient to the word? Are you faithful to the fellowship? I know I got to do better. Pray for me, I'll do better. Well, that's a bunch of hogwash, Father. I believe they just need to get up and do it. We don't pray for what is already commanded in the scriptures. So I pray for our church today. I pray those that are on the edge will get back in. Whatever your will and way is in this invitation, we extend it. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.